Assalamu alaikum and welcome to a new episode from Anas Talks. I'm your host, Anas Shatara. In this episode, I called it what matters and what doesn't in starting a business and of course in running the business. I have had this idea for quite some time and I was waiting for it to crystallize more in my mind. And I think what helped me the most, as I mentioned in the previous episode, the fact that I did travel and I have encountered some things that I will be touching base on in every episode and how much did it impact me. At the same time, I'm going to be linking it into, as usual, things about entrepreneurship, starting a business, so on and so forth. So without further ado, let's start the episode. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about four bullet points that I have mentioned in the description. The first one, I called it the street food merchant in Phuket. So what happened was that I was just going around the island at night, somewhere around like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night. And I had my dinner, but at the same time, I was feeling like having something fresh, like a juice or like a dessert, fruit or something like that. And I noticed in one of the restaurants that I usually have my desserts at, it was kind of crowded. And for some reason, I just didn't walk in. I kept on walking until I came across a street food merchant. Now, this is quite common in Phuket and in islands in general. The thing is, when I approached him, he was already making those Nutella pancakes type of things that you see on YouTube and Instagram, which looked very delicious. And I asked him, "Do you do fresh juice?" He said yes, but he told me, "I'm really sorry, I'm working alone tonight and I already have four customers waiting. This might take some time." I really appreciated his honesty and I was like, you know what, I'll wait. And I managed by luck to find an empty chair by the shop next to him that I borrowed and I sat down. So the first, it was around four or five people. Anyway, there were two families. The first family ordered lots of them, so it took some time. And the second family also, they saw that how yummy it looked, so they ordered the same. Moral of the story is I had to wait for approximately 25 minutes. And I did not feel bored for a second, and I didn't really change my mind into going like, I'll just walk a couple of more steps for me to just go to someone else. But for some reason, I just waited for this guy. And once he was done with everything, he asked me, "What do you want?" So I told him, I remember I ordered some juice, something like a passion fruit, orange mix, something like that. While going through all of this experience, I was noticing, yet he is a street food merchant. I didn't have much time to actually ask him more in details, like, is this his regular job or does he do it on the side? Maybe this information would have helped, but at the same time, what was more important is that yet he was a street food merchant, he was following the top, what do you call it, like the top-notch procedures in terms of like hygiene, in terms of like using gloves, in terms of like cleaning the equipment after every order, making sure the place is spotless. And mind you, this guy is on a trolley in the street, like literally on the sidewalk or on the pavement, not to say it in an American way, but on the pavement. So he was still wearing gloves with every single order, taking off his gloves, making sure that he cleans the utensils or the cutlery or whatever he was using, clean the board, make sure everything is spotless, everything goes in its own trash bag, like things that has to go with recycling, things that are food waste, plastic. And this guy was operating like, it's a trolley, it's a food trolley, what do you expect from it? And even though when he have reached to the point where he will do my order, he cleaned his hands again, removed the gloves, used new gloves, and did the shake for me. And I asked him, like, does anybody like work with you on a regular basis? He told me, yeah, we were supposed to be three people operating it tonight, but one person is sick and one person had to leave early, so I'm managing the whole place on my own. Like, usually somebody handles the ice cream, somebody handles the milkshakes, and somebody handles the pan where you do all these pancakes type of things. And I asked him if I can take a selfie with him, and I've done that. And I think by now I posted the picture on Instagram. The whole reason why I did this is that keep in mind that this guy is operating on his own. He did not go like, oh, my colleagues put me down, or whether it was their family or their colleagues, doesn't really matter. He did not really shut down any other parts of the stations that he operates on. And he said, you know what, I'm just going to be doing pancakes or whatever. Now, I will be touching base on this multiple times during the podcast. And I will link this to the third point, which is the product comes last. Keep in mind, this guy was selling Nutella pancakes or whatever sort of pancakes, and he was selling fresh juice or ice cream, which is basically you can have it in any other shop. But he won all the customers, and we all of us have left with the biggest smiles on our faces because he was extremely pleasant. The experience was very, very remarkable. I mean, to a point that I'm mentioning it now in my own podcast. It did not really matter what he is serving. What mattered is his attitude, his way of him executing his job. When you look at him, you go like, this is a person that he respects himself. He respects his job. That even though there is no manager above him, to be like, you need to follow the correct measures. You need to be changing your gloves in every single order to ensure that no, from cleanliness point of view, or to ensure the quality of the taste, he would have rushed it. He would have been like, okay, I'll make extra money if I was able to serve more people. So he would downgrade the amount of quality that he delivers. Yet he did not want to compromise, even if that meant me as a customer going to another food merchant. And he was honest with me. I mean, the transparency and the honesty, he knew it's going to take a long time for 20 or 25 minutes because he's alone. And he informed me about this from the beginning. So as a whole experience, it just gave me a very big realization that it doesn't really matter what you sell today. I mean, at the end of the day, you're not really creating something new if you come to think of it. Tesla is a car at the end of the day. Yes, it is an electric car, but it's not the first electric car on the world. iPhone or Apple sells mobile phones, and they don't follow any of the rules in the mobile phone business. Like, as an example, all companies, what they talk about when they're releasing a new phone, they talk about the megapixels, they talk about the technical things, how much the battery is big. I mean, I never recall in any of the events of Apple, they have ever mentioned the milliampere capacity of any of their batteries. They only used to say how it will affect you in your life, how long it will stay. Now, I'm not trying to praise Apple or look down on other companies. I'm just saying that the Apple mentality, they concentrated more about the consumer experience by creating the Apple stores, by creating the design of the Apple stores, that in any Apple store around the world, if you're going to enter it, you're going to be having the same pleasant experience. People are chosen differently. The type of interviews that they conduct is differently. You notice always those people who work in the Apple store, they're always from a certain caliber. Again, I emphasize on whether you like Apple or not. I'm just going here about the point that they are concentrating more about the consumer experience. So that was the point that I wanted to mention about the street food merchant. And I'll be moving now to point number two, that it's not about the money. And again, if we would relate to the example of the street food merchant, if he cared about the money, he would have just told me, yeah, yeah, just wait for me 2 seconds, I'll be with you. Or he would have told me, you know what, have a seat, I will make sure to come to you very quickly. Or he would have done the other orders in a faster fashion just for him to finish, to capture more sales. But he didn't do that. And whenever you start a business, never ever start with the idea of how can I make money. I'm going to bring another example. So my brother, Saif, that I always mention this podcast, and I really admire him. He's one of the two people who I really look up to in this thing. I'm going to be mentioning both of them. So the first one is Saif. When recently he decided to start a business that does customized computers. So he made a website online, he did all the legal things, and you just go to his website, you put whatever you need. So you don't say, what sort of speed do you want in the computer? Rather than he took the other approach, a new approach that honestly I have not seen much in any of the websites. So the type of questions he would ask you is that he would ask more about you and what you need. Do you need it for just work? Do you need it to be mobile? So you would go for a laptop type of solution, or you would rather have something like a desk type of solution. Are you into gaming? Are you into design? So on and so forth. Now, when he started his business, and just like any other business in the world, he knew from the beginning, you're never going to be making money at the beginning. Actually, you would be making a loss. You would keep on going on a burn rate for years until you actually reach the break-even point. And that's what he was doing. Now, he used to charge like almost a non-existing fee. Like if you would calculate it in dollars, it would be around $10 or $13 per the whole thing. And what you have to do is just simply pay for the parts that you want for the computer. And he made it also in a very nice way, consumer friendly, that after you fill up this form, you automatically get an estimation as a PDF to your email. Now, why am I mentioning all of this? When he started this business, he knew that it was not going to make him money. Was he a pro in making computers? The answer is yes. And he had so many years of trial and error that he has done in his own time that he was confident enough to a point where he can start his own business. But try to look at this example if he had the other approach. If from day one he said, how can I make money from this first sale? And he would have said, okay, any computer that would reach around $1,000, I'm going to be charging $250. If it was around under $700, I'm going to be charging a flat fee of $100. That would have been not practical, first of all, because he did not build his name. He did not build his database. He would have been into so many other hiccups. But yet he sacrificed all of that for him to concentrate more about the experience, building his fan base. And thank God, I mean, in a very record period of time, he's being able, because he's done that, he's being able to get more recommendations through people. So a person who would have ordered probably a normal computer and he received it later on, he'd be sitting with his friends and they would be, the topic of computers would come up and they would need a certain requirement. He would just simply redirect him to Safe. And just like any other business, you need patience. You need to ensure that your quality is at its best. So many times he have been requested by a customer to do a very expensive computer. And after talking to them, like getting their contacts and talking to them, it turned out to be that it was an overkill. Yet he was still honest with them and he told them, it is good that you're buying a very powerful computer, but at the same time, you would be saving money if you would go with this path or choose these type of products instead of the ones you've chosen, and you'll still get an amazing experience, amazing speed for at least the next 3 years, and of course you'd be able to save, and vice versa. So the customers, every single person who have ever dealt with him, are extremely happy, and mashallah, God bless him. Now he's moving on to many cool stages that I will not be discussing right now. I'll be leaving it to him to share it with us once we have him on the show. And of course, I'm going to be linking him in the description. And the second person that, of course, I always mention is my beloved brother Khalil and my business partner. It's just an amazing experience going through the entrepreneurial path of, just like how I read recently in the last book. I'm trying to remember the name. It now, if it clicks on my mind, I'm just going to be saying it. It's about when you want to present your plan or you're seeking funding and things like that. And the first thing that this is a VC, this is a venture capitalist, a person who invests in like the biggest companies in the world and that became the biggest companies in the world. And also they brought him on Shark Tank, very famous guy. He said, in order for you to be an entrepreneur, you have to have something loose in your head. Like, you shouldn't be all right. Because if you were a very logical, normal person, you would never, ever start a business because it is the most riskiest thing. It's the biggest risk you can take. You're literally diving into the unknown, full of things that are unpredictable. Things change in a span of a second. Things are so fragile. And it doesn't really matter whether you are backed up with money or not, because 99.9% of the time you're not backed up in money. And those projects take years in order to pay itself back or reach the break-even point. So mentioning my brother, when we sit down almost 2 to 3 times a week, sometimes once a week, depending on my working hours, and we'd be discussing business. Recently, when I traveled to Thailand, since I was off and I was like away from him, somewhat I had like a playback video in my head looking at where we have started years ago. Because honestly, I can't really anchor the point that literally at that day it all started. It all started somewhere in 2009 when we bought the first DSLR camera. I mean, even before that, we had the ideas of starting a business, but all of that started with buying that camera around that time. And when I look at it today, 10 years later, of how many times we have pivoted, how many times we have changed our strategy into going forward, and we are still in pursuit of this goal or this dream or this company. Yet every single year you get to face new challenges, new changes in the, not necessarily in the country that you're living in, but it can also be on the global economy, on the trends, on what people like or what people don't like, and how things are going in the whole market, not necessarily also in your own local market. And the more you learn, the more your vision gets more vivid, it gets more clearer, the more you believe in your idea. And at the same time, no matter how much of like you would be 100% believing in your idea, and yet you would realize things or you would learn some new things and you go like, yes, I understand this is a lucrative idea or this is a lucrative business. The way I am approaching it will not be so efficient. And on the outside, it looks like I'm changing my whole, like I'm moving the rudder of the ship and I'm changing my whole path, but the destination still remains the same. I'm just in the sea. I don't control the waves or the wind. I need to steer my rudder accordingly. So that would be point number two. And point number three that I spoke about, point number two being it's not about the money, and point number three being the product comes in last in terms of concentrating on your consumer experience, because at the end of the day, that's what all that matters. Point number four, and which I'm going to be ending the podcast after it. Once, if I would, I always used to ask myself this question, or if you would ask yourself this question, at which point do you know that you have had your grasp over the business? Or in other words, to rephrase it, at which point do you know what do you want to do? So now if I would come and ask Saif and I would tell him, what do you do? If I came like 2 years ago, he would answer me like in a paragraph. He would tell me, do you know that now in our society we have the gaming now is growing more in our society. People are more into personalized computers. I'm trying to create something to help people, yet the integrity of the relationship between the seller and the buyer, not to fool people, to offer them very good service. He would give you all of this answer. But at the end of the day, how do you know that you became a pro in it, or this is what you want to do? You know when you can summarize it in one sentence. So as an example, if you would say McDonald's, the first thing that comes to your mind is fast food. It's as simple as this. This is their whole model, selling food fast. That's it. So when I would ask Khalil today and I would tell him, what do you do? He would say cataloging. Or cataloging for e-commerce, cataloging products for e-commerce. It would be 1 to 3 words. If I would ask Saif today, what do you do, or what does your business revolve around? He would say personalized computers. If he would like to go more, he would say personalized computers with an amazing customer service. Like that would be it. Or it would be personalized computers by unbeatable prices. Now, this is This is the point that you know what you want to do. And believe me, it will take you years. I mean, even when your business flourishes and it starts making money, you would be still in kind of a dilemma going like, okay, this is sustainable, this is making me money, how can I make it bigger? And then you start the big dilemma between you and yourself by saying, now if I will be trying to make the business bigger, will it lose its core? Will I be pivoting into something else? Or shall I just, I found a way that works, we'll stick to it just like the old times, or shall I be flexible? So this controversy of questions will always remain there. As always, if you have reached this far in the episode, I sincerely thank you. I really hope it have added something for you, or you were able to get inspired in a way or another. I am truly blessed and happy to be surrounded by people who are, I would say, like a lighthouse. Whenever you would be feeling down, whenever you would be contemplating, asking yourself, like, what the hell am I doing in my life? They would still, you'd just simply by looking at them, you go like, no, despite the general disbelief, and being 100% sure that 99% of the people will not be following this route, and I'm taking the hardest route, but it has the best results at the end. Whether it was the financial gain, in my opinion, I think the best satisfaction I would ever get in my entire life, or anyone, is that whenever you have an idea in your head and you see it translate into a real thing in front of you and it works. I mean, the money is cool at the end of the day. All of us are working for financial gains. But what matters more is that this was something that was created in your head out of nowhere by your own thoughts, and you were able, after so much of hard work, to translate it into real life. I believe this is the biggest satisfaction. So I'd like to thank you, Khalil and Saif, for your amazing tenacity in chasing your dreams, and this just fuels me more to keep on going forward. I really hope that this channel will be able to link me more with people of such caliber, and also to be able to share my voice with people of such caliber, because it's quite rare to find nowadays. I really thank you. I really pray that you would be always inspired and always tenacious in chasing your dreams. And now we are coming close to Eid. So also I wish you Eid Mubarak. And I'll see you in the next episode. Peace.